Sure.
You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to today's episode of Making Bank. It's packed full of amazing content that's going to deliver results right now for you if you take and apply these tactics, strategies, and everything that we're being taught. And with today's episode, really make sure you're watching as well as listening for throughout this whole episode to what each of these guests has to say. And we have some amazing guests. We have everybody from Trav to Adrian Anthony Morrison to George Bryant, Todd Brown, Ian Stanley, and many more. So this episode is chock full to talk to you how to market yourself, how to market your business, and break through the noise that are out there all around us today. So stay tuned and get ready for today's amazing guests of Making Bank right now.
The key thing that I tell folks that I want to share with folks is fall in love with being an entrepreneur. Don't fall in love with the product. Don't fall in love with the marketplace. Fall in love with the freedom and pride in being a successful entrepreneur, because you may have to switch.
Sure.
Right? I've left industries, I've sold companies, you know, I've moved on when more exciting opportunities have presented themselves, right? And so that's the first thing that, right? With that being said, that's also the big mistake that a lot of new marketers and entrepreneurs make is they start with the product. They think about, I could sell X.
Right.
And then they think about, well,
because they see somebody else selling it.
Today, there's so many messages out there that are like, it's so easy to start your business today. Anybody can say, come up with an idea for an information, take what you're passionate about, and you could start an info product business. And then people are like, great, I'm going to start one about rare gems whatever in New Jersey or whatever. And it's like, what are you talking about, man? Like,
I don't even live in New Jersey.
Yeah. And so they start with this, I have a product, I have an idea for a product, and then they try to figure out, well, like, all right, so who am I going to sell it to? And then how would I structure the marketing message to sell it to those people? When what you really want to do at the beginning is you want to invest the time, energy, and effort to become a student of markets and people.
Okay.
And you want to look for what out where are the and what are the groups of people that are interested in a topic or a product that a large group of people that gather, they gather either offline in conferences, they gather in Facebook pages and groups and forums, they gather there on, there's a database where we can direct mail them, right? And they're hungry and interested in XYZ.
Sure.
And then we get to decide if we want to bring them XYZ or bring them a different version of XYZ or a better version of XYZ.
Okay.
You know, it was Gary Halbert that talked about, you know, this idea that you want to find a starving crowd.
Right.
That's what you want. That's forget opening up a burger joint with a great logo, forget the best meat, forget the best cooks, forget the right location.
Right.
You want a starving crowd. You want to identify the starving crowd first. And so that's the best course. You start there and you let the market tell you what the market wants, and then you choose if you want to be the one to give it to them.
Gotcha. Okay. So instead of then, like, because a lot of people just like, okay, I got a product, and then they make it, and then go try to figure out how to put it out there.
Yeah.
So we're taking a look at hot topics, what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Even like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about, he's like, he's listening, seeing what people are saying, seeing what they're posting, and now he's creating content around that specific thing.
It makes the job, you know, I've seen entrepreneurs struggle to grow.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen them like agonize, you know, just struggle to make things work. And I've seen other entrepreneurs with no better skills, no more passion, no greater motivation or discipline do incredible things very quickly. Mm. And the big difference between the two is, you know, is the one struggling is trying to take a portion of the river and move it over there. They're building a dam and they're trying to, right? And the other one is like, I'm riding it up there, man.
Yeah.
I'm on it. The thing is taking me, you know, and that's the beauty of, you know, you find a market that's hot, excited, passionate, accessible, big, has money, they're spending money on it, and you're able to see what it is that they want through their buying habits, through their behavior, and then you're the guy or gal that brings them that thing,
right?
Right? Oh, and I've lived it. Like, I've lived it. And so, because I've made that. I've made that mistake. Yeah.
You're like, all right, here's a product. Oh, wait, nobody really wants it.
Son of a gun.
I fell into my own trap.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Darn it. It's been a long time, but I've made that. Yeah, I've made them.
We all do. Yeah. It's like,
Marketing is a business of ideas.
Okay.
Meaning, behind every marketing campaign, behind every video, behind every blog post, behind every podcast, behind every video podcast, there is an idea, and the quality of that idea is what determines attention and engagement. It's very similar to, you know, the quality of a movie idea. It's when, you know, somebody said to you, I've got an idea for a movie, right?
Yep.
What we wouldn't say to them is, what's the title? Like, you would say, well, what's the idea? Tell me the idea.
Yeah.
Give me the log line. Give me the 20-second idea.
Sure.
And, right, like, if it's a great idea, you know, you don't need superstars in the roles to make it work. You don't need, you don't need a huge budget. Those things can help and those things add to it. But just because you have a huge budget and stars doesn't mean it's going to work, right?
Yeah.
Just because you have the best software for your funnels and all that jazz and great design doesn't mean it's good. It's the underlying idea that really carries the weight. And so you want to focus on, like, well, what's the idea that I'm bringing behind? Am I simply saying how to grow big tomatoes? Right, and am I trying to take that run-of-the-mill idea and make it sound exciting by saying how to grow big, huge, gorgeous tomatoes, which is the same idea, just wordsmith?
Sure.
Or are you working on, like, what's the idea? Like, what's the idea that I'm bringing behind this message?
Okay.
And you see that goes for books, movies, television shows, you know, everything. And so we're in the idea business. And when you really start to think about, right, before you sit down to write a headline, before you sit down to think, you know, you think about, you know, I always start with the offer, what we talked about.
Right.
And then I go back to the idea and I work on the idea for the campaign.
Okay.
The idea behind the marketing campaign that's going to lead people to this unbelievable sin offer that we put together.
Cool. Awesome, man. You know, as you were learning copy and you developing your skill and everything, you kind of came up with some different principles. Obviously, that's helped you. And I know I subscribe to some of your stuff, so I kind of see some of those coming through and everything. What are you know, maybe some of the principles that you can share people can follow?
So one of them is to tell the stories that scare you the most. So the easiest sort of shortcut to telling stories that really sell a lot of stuff is actually to be vulnerable and to whatever scares you. If you're afraid to tell that story, then it's likely highly emotionally charged. And people can feel what you're feeling when you're telling a story. So if you're on video, like I used to say this for video all the time, is like if you're on video and you're in a bored space, or you're, you know, if you don't have the right energy, people, you can say the exact same words. I could write the script for two different actors or for the same actor. They can do it one way and they can read it in a different voice. And you could have a 50%, 100% difference in conversions, literally from the energy of the person. And so when you're writing, when you're filming, if you're willing to share those stories that scare you, you're automatically going to be in some form of an emotional state in which, and people, the more people feel, the more they buy. You know, people buy on emotion and they justify with logic. So there's the reason they buy, and then there's the reason they tell their wife or their husband, and that's the logic part coming in, because they go, well, why did you sign up for this? And it's like, well, because it's going to make us more money. But really, he's like, you know, dealing with something much deeper. And he's like, well, I actually just don't feel like I'm a good enough person if I don't make this much money and I feel less than everyone around me. And so the more you can make people feel, the more emotionally driven you can be with your copy and your marketing, the more people are going to spend. And the easiest sort of shortcut to that, you don't have to be a great writer. Like we have this thing at the Lionheart workshops where people tell an embarrassing story, which I don't know if I'm supposed to publicly say that because it's kind of a secret, but what you find is that everybody has an incredible story, and that you know, I do stand up as well. So you find that everybody could do stand up if they were willing to go and tell the story that absolutely is the most embarrassing moment in their life, because it's inherently funny. Sometimes it's very shameful or whatever, but it's like everybody has great stories. It's just they're hard to tell.
I guess initially, what would be some of the first things when people are launching an online business that you're like, okay, hey guys, because I know you drop ship and you don't even have physical products in your presence and you've done that before. What are some of the things that you guys say, here's what you guys need to do, first steps?
So I say go find out what everybody else out there wants.
Okay.
Find out what's hot. Not maybe to you. Like a lot of the stuff that I sell is ridiculous. Like I think it's the dumbest stuff ever, really. But I sell millions of dollars worth
yeah.
of it. So find something that people are very passionate about
okay.
and that's evergreen. So for instance, one of the niches I'm very big in is the dog niche.
Okay.
And you got to think about it. People say, oh, is that saturated? Well, no, because every day, who knows how many people adopt a new pet,
yeah.
right? So it's an evergreen niche that is not going to saturate. It's not going to run out. That's one of the first things I would do is just focus on a broad, very popular
okay.
Evergreen niche.
That's cool. So marketing, like how do you get your products to, I guess, sales to go viral? So obviously you're finding the right product.
Right.
And then you're running some Facebook ads. But how do you get it to really like take off?
I have four phases of targeting that I okay. teach with Facebook ads. And most people skip step one. You know, Facebook ads, everybody jumps in it and they go, oh, it's so easy because I can start setting up my ad and target people that say dogs.
Right.
And that's 30 million people or something
sure.
like that, right? Well, that's step two. All right, step number one is getting on there and finding very passionate, very precise interest within the Facebook targeting framework.
Okay.
So something like that would be like, I heart my dog, right?
Okay.
Or
dog breeds?
Would dog be... breeds would still be kind of broad.
Okay.
Like I'm talking about like hitting animal shelter names, like my itty
okay.
bitty rescue, itty
sure.
bitty pity rescue. So you have to deep dive into the interest a little
okay.
bit and think about this. Who's more likely to buy a product that's associated with dog lovers? Somebody that is associated with a dog rescue as an interest, or somebody that just
like,
falls under dogs or
right.
pit bulls?
Sure.
So when we hit these very passionate,
okay.
precise interests, that propels our ads to virality,
mm-hmm.
right? It gets lots of likes, lots of shares because we're hitting very passionate audiences,
okay.
which gives us credibility. Phase number two is we hit dogs.
Gotcha.
Just dogs, 30 million people. Phase number three is once that's profitable, we hit lookalike audiences. So on Facebook,
buyers
you can make lookalikes. Phase four, not very many people believe works, but it does, and I've taught tens of thousands of people how to do it in my Ecom Success Academy training.
Sure.
It's called zero targeting.
Okay.
Because the Facebook pixel will optimize for you. Once
sure.
your Facebook pixel gets data and understands who your buyers are and
right.
are not, it should try to find buyers for
More
you.
Buyers, yeah.
So I'll legit put out an ad and do no targeting, no keywords, just 18 plus years old,
yep.
worldwide, and
super,
legitimately,
super broad.
Yeah, target
okay.
the whole world.
Okay.
And legitimately, it'll be profitable in many cases. It's a hit or miss, but
okay.
if you can get an ad like that, you want to talk about viral,
yeah.
hitting the whole world, where you're getting millions of views to your
right.
video ad and tens of thousands of shares and comments. So I follow
and
that
you're using
four
the step. Same ad along the whole journey.
The same ad,
okay.
the same product.
So you keep maintaining all that social proof
right.
and everything.
So
else.
I'm starting it here.
Yep.
And then step two is here, step three is here, and then step four is like
way
here.
Out. Yeah.
Right? And so I'm making sure that I'm always profitable before I hit that next phase.
Gotcha. And then are you automatic placement targeting, so you're picking up Instagram and all these other
Absolutely
areas.
Not. No. Everybody, it's like so simple. Facebook is so easy, and this is what I teach my students, is you just have to like use common sense a little bit and click a couple of things. Automatic placement sounds great in theory, but the best converting place on all of Facebook is the newsfeed,
mm-hmm.
right? The mobile
right.
newsfeed and the desktop newsfeed.
Yep.
So I start all of my ads there.
Okay.
And if it's profitable there, then it can be profitable on the right-hand column or on Instagram
gotcha.
Or on the audience network.
Okay.
No matter what, we're talking about selling,
right?
Right. So we've sold an awful lot, right?
Sure.
We're talking about probably $200-300 million, you know, between television and online. So one of the things that people get really wrapped up in, how do I do my ad, or what do you sell
right.
here, how do you do this, without asking, like, what's the real strategy behind how you sell?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if it's on Facebook, on Instagram, on television, and, you know, on a webinar, whatever.
Sure.
And I think one of the most important things that we've found with selling, and I think even with your e-commerce stuff when you write it in your ad, is telling stories. Because
mm-hmm.
you know, if you think about it, that's what makes people tick,
sure.
right? When you can pull emotion, when
right.
you can evoke emotion, right?
Right.
And that's what's going to make people take an immediate action and then and a persistent action. And so we always tell stories, whether it's selling a dog collar and telling a story about your dog along the way.
Dog safety.
Or, yeah,
yeah,
or it's on a webinar telling a story that you then weave the sale into. So I would say anytime you're selling something, whether it's e-com, digital, whatever, always make sure you're telling stories to sell, yeah, because it's an indirect sell, you know, right, and it's people buying into your story, so they'll buy your product instead, sure, of you saying, buy my product, right? And I've tested this so many times where I don't even tell them to buy. I just tell a story about how something, you know, and I weave it in, and we'll absolutely crush it. So I would say that would probably be the one thing I would want to share with
you. That's
people.
Awesome. Wanted to dive into, because you get millions and millions of views on your videos and everything else, and there's a lot of people that are, whether they have their own podcast or creating their own content, maybe it just haven't found that little click yet.
Yeah.
What has worked really well for you? Because I know your stuff's all organic,
yeah,
or mostly all organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what has worked for you? Maybe some insights and some tips or tricks that you can share.
So, all right. So here's the first, I'll kind of give a quick rundown. So I started the podcast in 2015.
Right.
It took, you know, it took off pretty decently, but I also really hustled to get it out there, put it on Facebook groups, put it in many places I possibly could. You know, there was groups where you could say, I'll give you a review on your podcast, listen to mine, and give me a review. So I did this hundreds of times, hundreds. I spent days, like, literally listening to other people's podcasts, giving them an honest review, them giving me an honest review on mine. And so I hustled, number one. But I think the most important thing before I talk about, like, the tactics is literally, I am obsessed with what I talk about. Like, if I made $0 doing what I'm doing now, I would still keep research talking. All of the stuff. I would talk about it. I'd put it up there. And that's the one thing that I think is different is a lot of people build businesses to make money.
Right.
I built what I built now because I just am obsessed with it so much, and I felt obligated to talk about it because I felt like I was good at teaching it. That was just the one thing where I was like, I feel like I'm good at it. I'm going to go ahead and teach it. I would read the same stuff. I would go to the same conferences. I would invest in the same masterminds. I would do all of those exact same things, even if I didn't teach what I teach.
Okay.
So the first thing I think that's really important that a lot of people miss is obsession. Like, I can, because people are, I'm 720 episodes into my podcast at this point.
Awesome.
And that's, majority of them
you're
are just.
Double me. Yeah,
the majority is just me talking, which is so odd, because everyone's like, when are you going to run out of content? I'm like, I don't know, because I asked myself that same question when I first started. It's three times a week. It's been 4.5 years now. And so basically, I still have an Evernote that's hundreds of ideas on the Evernote that I haven't hit. And the reason why I say that is because it's literally like my brain is constantly looking for things to teach because I am a teacher at this point. So when I read something, I want to teach it. When I read something, I want to teach. And so it's always searching for things to create.
Sure.
So that's the first thing, is that I'm absolutely 100% obsessed with what I do, which is what I think people can sense the passion when they actually hear me talk or when they get in a room with me, whatever it is, it's actually legitimately there. So I think that that helps. And so what I would say is, if you're trying to build a business just for money, there's nothing wrong with that. But there are going to be hard times, and there are going to be times where you need to put in 100 hours in a week. Will you legitimately want to put in 100 hours a week into your podcast, into making videos, or whatever it is that you're trying to do? If you're passionate about it, it's a lot easier because it doesn't feel like work. It's just, I would do it anyways. The first part is being obsessed with it. The second part is that when you're putting something out there, the number one question that I ask myself is, what am I trying to make somebody feel? Because there's a lot of people that create content that there's no feeling behind.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of value in creating lots of content. But I think that the one thing that people really miss the most is, what's the feeling I'm trying to get to people? Like, for instance, I love Gary Vaynerchuk, but he's also extremely passionate, and he makes people feel stuff by his talking.
For sure.
So when he says create a lot of content, what I think that he's just so good at what he does that he misses is that they have to feel something in that content. Is him naturally in his perfect, like, it is crazy.
That makes sense, yeah.
Super enthusiastic state makes somebody feel something. Mm. An average person's listening to that and they're creating content like, why is it not going? Why is it not going? Why is it not going? Because you just might not be as passionate. And so somebody's not feeling something as they watch it, right? And so I think that that's a really big thing, is that the very first question I ask myself is, what am I trying to make somebody feel?
Sure.
Because if somebody will feel something, they will watch the entire thing. And if I can make them feel good at the end of it, they will then share it. And so I'm always thinking in my head,
okay,
what am I trying to make somebody feel? And then can I give them a sense of resolve at the end? This is like the biggest thing to get somebody to share any of your stuff. Do they feel a sense of resolve? I've never seen the movie The Mist, but every time I bring it up to someone who's seen it, they hate it. They said it was an incredible movie, but the ending did not end the way that they wanted it to. And so they hate it because of the last few minutes. That's it.
And we've I've never seen it, so I don't
know. Yeah, so we've all left a movie where we've been like, I feel gypped.
Right, yeah.
I don't feel like it's not what I wanted. Game of Thrones. I wasted hundreds of hours watching those freaking shows, and then it didn't end the way that I want to, and now I don't feel good about Game of Thrones, even though I loved it for seasons, right?
Right.
Seven seasons or whatever it was that we watched it. And so there's the feeling of, if I can make somebody feel good at the end and not pitch my stuff, because a lot of marketers, people that we know that right. we hang out with, they'll make a really great video, and I'm like, this is great. And then I get to the end, they say, so if you want my 7-step blah, 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 blah ebook, go download it here. My whole thing is, I want someone to feel good at the end, not feel like they've been sold or they've been tricked into watching a commercial. And I want them to feel something, and then I want them to feel good at the end.
Okay.
And if they do that, they'll usually hit the share button, and then they usually follow my stuff. Mm. And if you do that enough times, you'll get thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that share your stuff and then start to follow you.
That's awesome. No, I think that's super important, is having that passion, that, but then also asking, what is that feeling that I want my audience
right.
or that I want that one person to feel
right.
when they watch this?
Right.
And then, so you said at the very end, you want to leave them feeling good and happy. How do you wrap that up, or what is that last couple of minutes?
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. My most viral video talks about why your job's a waste of your life. Like,
right.
I'm very passionate about people not wasting their life at a job if they hate it.
Sure.
If you love your job, stay there forever. That's great. That's beautiful. But you have to realize 85% of people hate where they are, and they spend the majority of their waking hours there. So I'm very passionate about, like, quit your damn job and make less money doing something that you love.
Right.
Like, I would prefer that, and I'm sure that your children prefer to see a happier, more holistic version of yourself at doing something that you love versus just selling your soul in order to, you know, make money.
From a marketing standpoint, what are some of the key things that have worked well for you in working with these different e-com companies?
Yeah, I think with that being said, a lot of them don't tell a story, right? And they're just buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. And
okay.
I think you understand the art of funnel marketing, but really I experienced it firsthand and then helped other people do it. Whereas, like, you have to put out content at the top of funnel that's raising brand awareness and spend money on promoting that content with
sure.
no return, right?
Right.
And then follow that down the funnel to the middle and the end where there's a conversion, and really figuring out what type of content tells that story, right?
Right.
And I think it is about awareness, and then it's about, like, consideration and education of the product, and then it's about purchase. And then below purchase level is where you can really start to really make those offers, like 20% off because you're retargeting someone for the 4th, 5th, 6th,
right.
8th time, right? So I think that whole art of psychology of introducing cold traffic to your brand and having them actually consider buying it before you sell it to them, right? And making that emotional connection. So I came up with this little acronym, ABCD, right? And the first thing you need to do with these videos is attract people, right? And then you need to brand yourself.
And right.
you need to connect with them. Mm. Then you can direct them to buy or drive traffic, right?
Right.
So there's that, those elements have all kind of changed now too. Whereas, like, if you're going to create a video, you kind of want to hit all those points, right? So if you're going to create an ad that you are a commercial for your brand, and you're just going to be like, oh, we're this cool lifestyle brand. Well, it's like, okay, how did you connect with the consumer? You know? And at the end of it, where are you directing them to go? What do you want them to do? And so it's hard now because people want brand / DR, like direct response content,
sure.
you know? And they want to make money off the first sale. And it's difficult. It's still difficult for me. And if I can get like a 1x ROAS, return on ad spend, at the top, I'm jazzed because
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know I'm basically getting eyeballs and traffic for break even, and then I can monetize those people down the funnel. And so that was huge learning lesson for me. And fortunately for a lot of these brands, they go on TV with Marcus.
Sure.
So they
oh, yeah.
have a half hour to an hour story. They have that awareness, and then they get a bunch of traffic. But what happens after that? What happens 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a year after that, where it's like, okay, there's only so many reruns of this TV show. You're not getting fresh eyeballs. How do you then take that exact story that Marcus told the world that worked for you one time and replicate that in content and market that through Facebook ads and it's or YouTube? And it's pretty challenging, you know, because
yeah.
they get spoiled. They're like, just do retargeting, just send emails. And it's like, well, we hit everyone with the Facebook pixel already with ads, and we've sent everyone an email every day for the last 6 months. So now what, right?
Right.
So that's the challenge. And when you can crack that code, tell the story really well, connect with consumers, and spend money doing it, that's when you start to win. And you're like, oh, wow, we can turn this business from $500,000 a year to $5 million a year with this formula, right? So that was basically like what I learned. If someone were to tell me to never give up and that the pieces will eventually fall together and that it will all start to make sense, you know, I think that's important because there was a long time, there were some dark days for me in this. And now I understand the formula. I've gone through the trials and tribulations of trying to figure out what does work for not only my brand, but e-commerce and, you know, having a life of financial freedom in general, right?
Right.
So I think it's just so important to just keep going and keep going and keep grinding. And just in the last few years, it really started to click for me. And I started doing this stuff 15 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So it's just staying consistent, showing up every day, putting in the work, and it pays off.
That's awesome. And then you just kind of mentioned what, for you, what kind of pulled you through those dark days to help you kind of keep going and going?
I'm just relentless by nature. and I had this idea in my head since I was a teenager that I was going to create a successful brand. And I've wanted it so badly that I would sacrifice anything, friendships, relationships, financial status. So, you know, I put myself through into those situations and I had to pull myself through it. And you know, obviously one of those things was linking up with Marcus and having him help me through some of those financial times and really figuring out where I need to put money for my business and how like capital works. Right.
Yeah.
So I think just realizing that capital is an important part of business. You can't just do everything on hard work, although it sounds like it would be great, but it's not quite as easy, you know. Sales and capital are the lifeblood of companies, so.
For sure.
The one thing I would say is I can't stress enough how important clarity is.
Okay.
When nailing your marketing message. And what I mean by that is whenever you're going to try to make a good ad or when people try to go out and do what we've done.
Sure.
And they try to be really funny and stuff. There's a lot of things that you can get distracted by.
Right.
But clarity will beat comedy. If there's a give and take.
Right.
It's great if they can live together, right? But if you have to choose between one, go with clarity.
Go with clarity. Okay.
Clarity beats cleverness. It beats production value. It'll be all these things. If you can be really clear with your message.
On the message.
Then you can then that's when you communicate with your customer. You need to do it in a compelling way.
Sure.
But it's got to be clear.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, cool.
If you can outcare your competition by one step, by one click, by one conversation, you already have won the game because that last person's interaction, instead of it being a no, became a yes or at least a neutral. So when someone's like, hey, have you heard of, you know, Making Bank? They're like, yeah, that guy just keeps selling me. They're like, yeah, totally. Like I kind of was a little frustrated, but then like he just kept giving me. And so I don't know if I can recommend it, but like I kind of got to be open about it. Right. And so like at worst, it's neutral because you can't give to people and have them be upset. Plus, you're saving yourself a lot of money when it comes to retargeting. You're allowing them to self-identify themselves. If you want to get really, 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 really ninja with it, if like on that gift, you end up making a video and you put it on its own landing page, pixel the page, and then retarget them, asking them in the ad about the consumption of that video and what they need next. And then you're allowing people to pre-qualify themselves and prospect themselves. So you're not wasting money on, you know, cold acquisition because they're doing it for you. So that's one tangible example of the thousand that I do in different ways to do it that that actually works and no matter what can win with people because there's no way to lose. No one can be mad at you. Nobody can be like, oh, you tried to take advantage of me. And it's just pure relationships. And the best example I can give you is, could you imagine if you walked into a grocery store and two things happened. You added a dozen eggs to your cart, and then you added, let's say, a container of orange juice. And when you got up to the register, you decided you didn't want the orange juice, so you put it back, and then you bought the eggs. And then on the way out the door, after you bought, the manager said, oh, wait, hold on. Do you want to double the amount of eggs you have for half the price? And you're like, no. And then you walk again. They're like, all right, do you want to triple it for 10% off and even more? So you'll have 36 dozen eggs. And you're like, no. And then he's like, oh, wait, but you put the orange juice back. Are you sure you don't want the orange juice? You're like, no. Like, can you imagine if we applied the principles of digital marketing to an in-person experience, just walking out of a grocery store or walking out of Starbucks? We would literally have not enough room in jail for all the assaults that occurred in this country. And so I think about it that way, because where people miss the mark is that they think digital is a different experience. Digital is an extension of a physical experience. We're just creating an ecosystem, like walking into a restaurant or walking into a grocery store or walking into a mom and shop butcher shop on the internet. And the principles have to be the same. People want to be seen, heard, and right. They want to be acknowledged. They want to feel safe. They want to have everything there to make their choice. And then that's when they make a choice and associate that with the brand, whether they buy the product or not. Because we've all walked into grocery stores. We've walked into Toomey. We've walked into Apple. We've window shopped. We've walked out. Apple doesn't stop you at the door and like, wait, you didn't buy an iPhone today. Wait, you didn't buy a watch today. Wait, you didn't buy. And so you, in my opinion, you have to think about that, because the days of like really quick transactions, heavy paid media, PPC stuff, it's gone. Because people are so in tune to what's happening now. And I watched this on the airplane the other day. I was flying home from Amsterdam and there was a guy sitting next to me, and we'd already been talking about marketing, and he worked for a really big company that hired me. And I just noticed he was on Facebook, and I watched him, and I started my timer on my phone, and I counted for 60 seconds and I counted how many ads that he scrolled through. And I stopped my timer and I said, hey man, I was like, Mark. He's like, yeah. I'm like, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you've been on Facebook, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I timed you for 60 seconds. Can you tell me and guess how many ads you saw? And he's like, yeah, I only saw one. It was a basketball one. I'm like, okay. I was like, you passed 17. And he's like, I didn't see any of them. And I was like, I know. He plays basketball. He saw the basketball ad. He saw the content related to the relationship that was there. And it wasn't an ad. It was a video on like a how-to. And it's like, that's all the data I need. Like, that alone is so valuable to think about, because there's so much noise and competition that everybody's focusing on that first transaction. They're focusing on that one night stand, but that never creates a sustainable long-term relationship. And when everybody focuses on the front, if you can win on the front, you win them for life, and it becomes a hockey stick, because those people stay in consumption of the brand, whether they buy your product or not. It's why like my wife can buy Lululemon, not buy it for 2 years, but still wear it all the time and still tell all of her friends how much she loves the hoodies and the pants and the shorts. And it's why we can go have an amazing meal at a restaurant. And regardless of if we go eat there again in the next 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months, every time a friend asks for a recommendation, it's the first restaurant that comes out of our mouth. They've given us the ammunition in that gun to share it with our friends, so we look more credible, we look funny, we add value, and they associate that success with us. But they're not requiring that we go eat in the restaurant every single day, or we buy 18 more dishes, or we have to have 7 desserts as upsells before we leave the restaurant. And so, yeah, no, that's a tangible, as about as real as I can give it without like looking at an individual business and figuring out where those holes are.
No, that's awesome. And I hope everybody was taking notes here, because, I mean, what you just shared was like amazing goal. I mean, that's like millions of dollars of
actually, content. Yeah, like hundreds that we've seen because it works.
Right. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.